Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Capitals Face Off Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the Capitals Face Off Podcast. Jill Sorensen here with Tarik El-Bashir. No fancy nicknames.
Nope.
We just can't do it without JJ. It just doesn't feel the same.
Just hockey talk.
So, all right. So, Tarik, today, what we're going to do is we are going to go through the lineup. All the forwards.
Armchair
all the
GM.
That's what we're going to do. I know we wrote about it on our website a little while ago.
Yeah, last week we did our final 20 questions for our series on CSM Mid-Atlantic was all three of us, me, you, and JJ. We all put our predictions out there for the opening night lineup.
So we're going to dive a little deeper into each line, forwards and D, and then we're going to get to some mailbag questions that don't deal with the lineup. I'm going to intersperse some mailbag questions while we talk about the lineup. Therefore, we don't repeat. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you want? What do you want to do? Do you want to start first line first, or do you want to go from the bottom?
I say we go top line to the bottom line.
All right. So, give me your top three. Go.
All right. So, I was kind of torn on this, but you know, one thing I've picked up on in my year of covering general manager Brian McClellan is, during news conferences, he often drops hints.
Sure, he does.
That become reality.
Yes.
He's a good general manager. Mm-hmm. He's not probably going to be a very good poker player.
No.
Because you pretty much know what he's intending.
He's
what
he's
planning.
He's an honest guy.
He's honest.
Candid.
He definitely can play his cards close to the vest, but he's candid. Mm-hmm. That's a great word. Mm-hmm. And in our most recent interview session with BMAC. He basically told us that he liked the Burakovsky, Backstrom, and Oshie line in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He liked the speed that Berkey brought to that line. He just liked the way that group worked together. So that's who I'm going with. I think that's what you're going to see on opening night. I did also thought they played very well in those few playoff games together. And I think that's how the season begins. I think you could see some flip-flopping of those top six guys.
Sure.
I think they're all very... five of them are veterans who I think will at times move around a little bit. But I think that's how it starts.
I could not agree more. I completely think that that's what it's going to be. Burakovsky, Backstrom, Oshie. I think that Berkey's deal really signified. I mean, you get $3 million, you know, it's a two-year $6 million deal. That signifies where they see him.
Yeah.
Certainly top six. And I think the playoffs showed a lot. But I especially like the chemistry between Backstrom and Burakovsky, and I think that speaks very well. I think that's huge for that line as well.
You know, and they have a great relationship off the ice.
Yep.
It's a kind of a big brother, little brother kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you don't ever want to put too much into that, but I can tell you just in my years of covering hockey that the guys who get along off the ice and have that relationship it can carry over to – helping them kind of get back on the same page when things aren't going well in a game. And I totally agree with you on that point. I think that's your first line.
So here's me interspersing a mailbag question from Daniel Collins. He says, "Hi, guys.
Hey, Daniel.
With the Kuzi contract being for such a long period of time, can you see him taking the first-line center role full-time this coming season? Or are he and Nick so easily interchangeable that it gives Trot some versatility with changing up the chemistry of the first and second lines?" Thanks, Daniel. Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Love it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Walker fan, I'm sure. We'll talk about Nathan Walker in a little bit.
We're getting to Walker in a bit.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I do see them. I think the organization sees them as a 1 and 1A.
Yeah, sure.
And my thought process, even going into last season, is the first line is whatever line Alex Ovechkin's skating on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw in the playoffs that's probably not going to be the way you can look at things going forward.
Right.
I think the first line is going to be whatever line Nicklas Backstrom is centering mm-hmm. until he's no longer the leading scorer on the team. And that could happen next year.
Sure.
I mean, could Kuzi get 90 points next mm-hmm. year and Backstrom mm-hmm. ends up with 75? Yes, it could. Mm-hmm. And then I think you kind of know who the first line center is at that point. But the reason I'm going to say Backstrom remains the number one center is because he does the other stuff so well. You know, the secondary stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he's better in the faceoff circle right now mm-hmm. than Kuznetsov is.
More consistent.
More consistent yeah. from game to game, shift to shift, month to month.
Mm-hmm.
Also a better checking center, but just better defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, when you...
That comes with the Swede, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you need to shut down an opposing center like Malkin or like a Crosby,
mm-hmm.
whoever's going that, you're going to put Backstrom against him. Because now we did see times last year where Kuznetsov was put into that role.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they needed someone who had... you know, the wheels to keep up with,
yeah.
and he did a great job.
He elevated his game.
Elevated
for
his
that.
Game. So
yeah.
the potential for Kuzi to become an elite first line center is mm-hmm. there, but I got to give it to Nick right now because of the fact that he does the ancillary stuff so well.
Yes.
And because he's that guy right now. He's just that dude. And you know what? Kuzi makes $1.1 million more than he does now.
Right.
But, you know, that's the way it breaks.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
It's so crazy. All right. So, let's move to the second line. I actually have a mailbag question about the second line. This comes from Jessica Hughes. She says, love the show. Thanks for keeping us up to speed
hey,
on
Jessica.
All things Capitals during the offseason. Lineup question. I've heard some talk about moving Ovi to the second line and promoting Burakovsky to play with Backstrom and Oshie on the first line. Just covered that. Thank you, Jessica. But assuming Vrana makes the roster, do you see Coach Trotz trusting a line of Ovi, Kuzi, Vrana? It seems to me that while they could generate a lot of offense, but none of them are known for being particularly reliable defensively, and that seems to matter a lot to Coach Trotz and his system. Mm. Thanks, Jessica Hughes.
Jessica, those are all valid points, and I do think that Vrana is going to be in the top six, getting back to what we said about McClellan.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of tipped his hand a little bit. I mean, that's what the Capitals really need him
yeah.
to be that player.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get every opportunity to show that he can play full-time in that top six role, and I don't see him displacing Oshie. I think Backstrom, like you were saying, Backstrom
mm-hmm.
and Oshie have too much chemistry right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kuznetsov and Vrana will be a pair there, and I think Ovechkin will be on the left side there. From a defensive standpoint, they got to have Kuznetsov elevate his game to the way he was in the few times they put him in the number one checking role,
mm-hmm.
you know, like shutting down the other team's
mm-hmm.
Best offensive player. Vrana, he has the wheels to do it. I think he has the want to,
mm-hmm.
usually.
Yeah.
They are also going to need him to elevate his defensive game, play without the puck. He's
mm-hmm.
going to have to just be in better position. He's going to have to just take more onus, you know, more responsibility
yeah.
In that role. And look, Alex Ovechkin has made strides
mm-hmm.
in his defensive game. I mean, is he ever going to be confused with a Selke winner? No, he's not. But I think if Kuzi can bring his game up, his defensive game up, I think the others will follow, and I think that'll, I think it'll be good enough.
So you and I differ on the second line, which I like.
Yeah,
this is good. This is a good thing. I actually, because Vrana was given so many opportunities last season,
mm-hmm.
And they were not up to what they wanted him to be. And then he had some issues. You know, Troy Mann came out, frankly, and said very candidly.
He had a tough season. He's had a tough season.
And
Hershey,
he
yeah.
was scratched at the end of the year.
Yeah. He was scratched in the playoffs.
And that's what I'm talking about. So he basically, Troy said he needs to up his mental game. And while I expect him to do that and want him to do that, I need to see, you know, proof is in the pudding. So I actually went out on a limb and put Connolly on that second line.
I could certainly see it. No doubt about it.
I really like Brett's desire. He's hungry. He will certainly, I know he's thankful that he was able to sign another deal with Washington.
Yeah.
You know, he was here on a 1-year stint, and he was in and out of the lineup. Obviously, in the playoffs, he didn't get a whole bunch of chances. He was out of the lineup there. I think that's just going to serve him serve his desire a little bit more, and he's going to be hungry. And I think that they're going to put him up there.
Maybe get some power play time for him.
Put him in the middle of the triangle. Yeah, sure. Try him there. Again, that comes down to buying in and the hunger. So I kind of said that I see Connelly there because I want to see it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that at some point during the season, Jill, we're going to see that combination.
Yeah.
I think at some point. It's a long season, and we know early on, especially with Coach Trotz, he likes to kind of throw things out there and see what works. Yeah, I could certainly see that happening at times throughout the year. And I hope Connelly does. He's another guy that, you know, they lost Marcus Johansson and Justin Williams. That's 48 goals that have been subtracted from this lineup. Yeah. It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Because you can't tighten down better defensively. You were the best defensive team in the league last year.
Right.
You can't ask for better goaltending. You got a Vezina Trophy candidate.
And Connelly had, what, 15 goals? Right? In
60-something games.
Yes. So you are looking for more production, and that was on the third line.
I want to see him get some specialty.
Yeah, get him some goals on the PP as well. By the way, we handled Eric Davis's question. He actually addressed you. He said, "Hey, Tarek, I could see Jacob Vrana thrive into the top six now with MJ90, Johansson out of the organization." Thoughts? So yes, Tarek agrees with you, Eric. Tarek sees Vrana on that top six. All right, so let's go third line now. Mm-hmm. This was really for a good part of last season. The third line was their best line.
Yeah, it was.
And it got sort of blown up when Berkey got hurt. And then obviously Burakovsky got the promotion, et cetera. Right. So what do you see? Third line.
I see Connelly, Eller, and Tom Wilson. I think Tom Wilson is another guy that they're going to need when you talk about replacing those 48 goals that have been subtracted from the lineup. He's a guy who he can't score seven goals again.
Yeah.
If this team is going to score enough goals to, you know, get back into the tournament. And so I think he's going to get every opportunity to play more. I think he kind of proved himself as Tom Wilson, proved himself on the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that group played together at times during the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Eller's going to need to step up. Connelly's going to need to step up. I think that they worked very well for small stretches in the playoffs, and I think they'll get the opportunity to do it again.
I love Wilson on that third line. I totally agree. Obviously, I agree with Eller there. I'm excited to see Wilson in a regular third line role.
Yeah.
And who knows? I think we've talked about this. By the end of the season, we could see him get some second line time, you know, depending
top line,
on
top
injuries.
Line to top six Tommy.
Top six Tom, top line Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would be on the first line, but certainly, he took that PK role.
He did at times. He had a few shifts. Sorry, he had a few shifts on a few games on the first
top line. But this is where you and I differ again. I put Vrana on the third line. I have him on the left side. I think that he will be balanced out a little bit better defensively with Eller as his center.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to help. I think he'll also be able to look at Eller and Wilson and see how you're supposed to play defensively. And I think that will rub off on him quite nicely. And then maybe then we see him move up to the second line. But I think that's pretty interchangeable.
Tom Wilson also opens up space for
his line mates.
Yeah, Vrana might need someone to help him kind of find some space.
Yeah, so Willie or Whip, as they call him.
Whip, I love it.
Although now there's no William, so they can go back to Willie.
Although I like Whip.
Whip, yeah.
Because he definitely cracks the whip when it's time get guys in line.
All right, so let's do fourth line, which this is going to be almost completely different from last season.
Yes.
It appears that Daniel Winnick will not be re-signed. It hasn't happened yet. So we have Beagle as our center.
Yep.
And who do you see on the wings?
Well, I've got, right now, I've got Nathan Walker on the left wing, and I've got Chandler Stevenson on the right wing. And I know they signed Devontae Smith-Pelly, a veteran presence that they kind of view as a project.
Yeah.
From what I hear, they're counting on him to be on the NHL roster. It is a two-way contract, so he can get sent to Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see him play a number of games, a lot of games. But I think for that opening night roster, I think the Capitals want to see their guys. They want to see if Walker and Stevenson can get it done, and they're going to play with a longtime veteran in Jay Beagle, who can win face-offs and kind of settle things down and kind of bring those guys along.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'll tell you this, Smith-Pelly is not going to go to the press box quietly. Like, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Like, and it's great for, you know, as journalists, I mean, we haven't seen any real
position battles
in training camp.
True.
I think there's going to be a legit one there on the fourth line. You know, I think, you know, and Anthony Peluso might be mm-hmm. in the mix there. Mm-hmm. I they like his
deterrence. Don't give that away. We have mailbag questions about that.
Yeah, I think he has some deterrence, but those are my guys right there.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
So I have Walker. I agree with you on that. He's just a little bulldog. They've liked him for some time. They didn't get him in the lineup because they didn't really have injuries to call him up last year.
And he was banged up in Hershey, too.
He was banged up as well. I think Hershey is expecting him to get the call as well. The Bears are sort of banking on not having him for
He's not really
stretches.
On their depth charts.
Right? So, yeah, Beagle in the center. And then I do have Devonte Smith-Pelly, DSP, on the right side. I think that, like, how you say that you think that the Caps want to see their guys, I think that they would like to see their new guy and throw him into the fire right away.
They did it with Connolly last year.
Right.
You know, and maybe he's another reclamation project.
Uh-huh. So that's what I think. Maybe, you know, maybe he gets a few games. Maybe they send him back down. Maybe they do a little rotation there.
His contract calls for a lot of money in Hershey. So like a lot.
Yeah.
So I would think that Smith-Pelly is going to be on the Caps opening night roster. We'll see if he's in the lineup or not. I'll tell you this. One thing, getting back to B-Mac and his, you know, candidness.
Yes.
Said, Devontae's got to get in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we're going to focus on. And he's had some stretches, long stretches in his career, early on with Anaheim where he, you know, even early on with New Jersey, where he's had some I believe Montreal, where he's had some good play.
Yeah.
They need to introduce some consistency there before he locks down a full-time role.
All right, so let's move to the defense. Who do you see? I think we're both in agreement. I don't know how much we want to dive into the first pairing. It's Orlov and Niskanen. I mean, they showed
their
worth last year.
Yeah.
And Orlov obviously re-signs with a huge deal. And
the one thing I do want to see
moving on, yes,
with regard to Orlov is he didn't get a whole lot of specialty team play last
year.
He started out
point.
With a little bit of power play time, then kind of lost it.
That's true.
I want to see him step into that role and get into the 22, 23 minute.
Uh-huh.
Especially now, you know, salary doesn't dictate where you're going to play usually, but when you get paid $5 million, you're no longer a guy who plays only at even strength. Like,
that's
they're going to count on you to block some shots and kill some penalties and maybe get some second unit power play time.
Well,
so
he has that shot. I mean, that shot is, I mean, we've heard it ring off the boards. And
when he
crazy.
Unleashes it, the first, I always go, where was that last night?
Right.
Like, why aren't we doing this in games?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked to him about it, and he says he's still unsure of himself when it comes to getting it past the winger. He said he feels like he needs to get better at walking the line and finding lanes.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like there are times in games where he gets overly concerned that he's going to shoot it off a shin pad and it's going to go the other way.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a tough time pivoting and getting back, and he's going to get beat. Because that happened to him a lot early on in his career. And he just needs to get better at, like you said, finding those open lanes.
Okay, so that was easy. Second pair. I actually have Taylor Chorney, the veteran, alongside John Carlson. And I think this is an easy get for them. They re-signed him to an extension last year. And he didn't get much playing time. The defense was relatively healthy. They like Schmidt, et cetera. And I think that this is an easy plug-in, at least to start, while you bring along your young guys.
So this is where we disagree a little bit, but I do agree with you. I think Chorney's going to be in the six.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be in the pairing. I just think that at times last year when Chorney was at his best, he was playing with Orpik.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that chemistry might matter a little bit.
They have good chemistry.
Because remember, whenever they wanted to get Chorney some time, they took out Nate Schmidt and they put in Chorney. And I thought Chorney played pretty well alongside the grizzled veteran. He can skate, and that kind of gives you that, you know, stay at home and the puck mover.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll want to throw in, and this is just kind of me thinking here, I think a guy like Aaron Ness, who has played 30-some NHL games, who plays a game very similar to Nate Schmidt's, mm-hmm. kind of the same size, kind of the same. They kind of see the game the same way. Mm-hmm. Maybe you throw him with John Carlson, mm-hmm. and you put Chorny on that third pair. I do think Christian Juice is going to make the team because he's he was the third leading scorer amongst all. Him. They love him.
Yep.
Amongst all defensemen in the AHL mm-hmm. last year, and the two guys who were ahead of him are like 30-year-old AHL lifers.
Right,
so
right.
he's the only, so he basically is the best offensive prospect on the blue line down there.
Yep.
He can't go down without going through waivers this year. That's mm-hmm. huge. That's something that whenever you're a fan and you're trying to figure out who's going to be, look at waiver situation mm-hmm. because remember Galiev stuck here for almost an entire year because they were afraid of losing him. So it's the same situation with Walker mm-hmm. and with Stevenson mm-hmm. and with Juice. Those are three guys the Caps feel like if they expose them to waivers to send them back down to Hershey, they're going to get plucked by somebody else. So I think Juice makes it, and I think he plays a lot this year, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that they're going to want to start him in a regular, you know, with a regular role in the NHL when you have guys who in Ness who's played 30 some odd games.
So you
and
see
Chorny.
Ness next to Carlson then.
Yes.
That's okay.
That's our second pair.
I think that while Chorny maybe would provide the offense if he or offense next to Orpik, I feel like he would be the steadying presence for Carlson to sort of get
let
back
him go
to
a little
his
bit.
Offensive ways, which you know, he admittedly he said like he didn't do as well as he wanted to offensively last year.
Yeah.
Certainly banged up a bit, but that's the way I saw Chorny on that second line. All right, so third line then, do you have Juice there next to Orpik?
So I have that's where I have Chorny and Orpik.
Oh, you have Chorny. Yeah. Okay.
So you have Orpik and Bowie.
I have Bowie there. So
sure.
Admittedly, I didn't look at the waiver situation.
Yeah. So he can go down.
So that's what I'm. Yeah. That so now I like it. Now I like my decision even better.
Yeah.
Because if you start Bowie, you see what you get. Out of a guy who was injured most of last year for Hershey, put him in right away. He was having a great preseason last year.
He scored a goal with the Capitals.
Yes,
it was an upper body, and he was sitting down like the next day.
Exactly. And then he got hurt with Hershey.
He probably would have got another game.
I agree, and I think that having Orpik as sort of his mentor there on that last line, you could look at
there's no one better in the league to mentor.
He's a guy too who has had you know some youthful sort of mistakes, if you will. And I think Orpik on and off the ice is
we don't do that, bro.
He's the perfect
that's how
guy
we do it here.
To show him how
right.
to be a pro.
I agree.
And they like Bowie a lot.
Yeah.
So that's but I will say. Go ahead.
I was like, I think Bowie's going to play a decent amount this year.
Yep.
I don't think he starts the season with the Caps because they can send him down.
Yeah.
So I think that he lost three and a half months last year.
Right.
With the cut tendon in his ankle. Freak injury.
Crazy.
Skate came down on him. Mm-hmm. He actually, I went to Hershey and talked to him about
it.
He said that he was wearing what hockey players, they wear these things called bunga pads, mm-hmm. which are like, they are little kind of silicone things that go inside a tight sleeve. Mm-hmm. He said if he didn't have that on top of his foot, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And so the surgery would have been more, he might have missed the entire season. So he actually lucked out a little bit. And then when he came back from the injury late, then he got hit in the face with a puck, and then he had to wear a fishbowl for a while. He was all out of sorts. So last year wasn't a lost year for him, but I think you start Madison Bowie down there, mm-hmm. let him get his confidence back, let him score some goals, let him kind of cut his teeth and kind of get comfortable again. And then that gives the Capitals a chance to kind of see, okay, how's Chorny doing?
Right.
How's Ness doing?
Right.
And again, it's a waivers thing. You can stash him, so you do stash him.
Yeah.
I think Siegenthaler plays at some point this year. Lucas Johansson plays at some point this year.
I cannot wait to see Lucas Johansson.
I think Connor Hobbs might get a game or two. I think some of these guys, you're going to see a lot of guys get some games because the strength of this organization right now is the prospects on the blue line.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a whole lot of high end talent on the forward side. Mm-hmm. But on the D side, they have some good guys. I mean, Johansson's probably going to be I think they project him as a number one or number two. Like, they
absolutely.
Think he's going to be really, really good.
Absolutely. And Christian Juice, like we said, is a guy they are so high on.
Yeah.
Both in Hershey, well-liked in Hershey.
Yeah.
They love him down there, but they expect to see him up here with Washington and that speed.
Funny story about Juice. I think you were in the scrum when we were talking to Troy Mann, and he said, we feed him and we feed him and we feed him and he won't gain any weight.
Yeah.
He weighs 160 something pounds soaking wet.
Nice problem.
You know what? I mean, Enstrom is small. I mean, there are guys in the league who are small. I mean, yeah. if you are able to leverage as a defenseman, if you are able to leverage yourself properly and mm-hmm. you are able
you
to
be smart.
Be incredibly smart, mm-hmm. And you can separate guys from the puck without needing to constantly bang and bang and bang. You can play a long time in this league.
Yeah,
and we were talking to someone the other day who told us Alex Ovechkin's always asking about Christian Juice.
Mm-hmm.
He's always like, you know, whenever he gets sent down, he's like, "Why are you sending that guy down? He's good. Right. I like him." So yeah. when the captain and most talented player in your organization is asking about a certain prospect,
yeah,
you know, game knows game. Right,
sure.
Game recognizes yeah, game.
Absolutely.
So he knows. I'm sure there have been a few times where Alex has gone, you know, has been stopped by him or sees his wheels, and he's mm-hmm. like, "Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Christian? What? You know, yeah. Why is he not on our team?"
Yeah.
So he doesn't have any input on player personnel decisions, but something tells me he's going to be like, "Hey Barry, Barry, that Juice guy? Why don't you give him a look?"
Yeah,
he's going to get a look anyway.
But. So let's go to our mailbag questions.
All right. Oh, and then goal. In goal, who do we got? All right.
Colby.
Yeah, I do think that Phil Grubauer is going to play a few more games.
I agree.
I think Colby has some hard miles on him.
Do you think that this organization will trend toward what looks like more of the norm now, where you're really almost splitting?
I don't think we're going to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Holtby's too good to do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you still let him play 60-some-odd games, but you're going to maybe the high 50s.
Sure.
But when you have the luxury of having a Philip Grubauer, you know, who was arguably the best backup in the league last year,
mm-hmm.
and you got Braden Holtby, who has played more games and faced more shots than any other goaltender in the NHL
yeah.
over the past 3 years
yep.
since Barry Trotz became the head coach, you want to mitigate that a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying he looked broke down or looked tired, but you want to make sure he stays, you know, at 27 years old. You got to locked in for a little while. You want to make sure that he has miles in
yeah.
front of him
yeah.
and you're not running him to the ground when you have the luxury of having a guy you can put in there and there's not much of a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And for Philip Grubauer, you know, he's going to want to continue to prove to the rest of the league that,
right.
hey, you know what?
He's on another one-year deal.
I can do this,
yeah.
guys. And I think he's a guy that at the deadline – if teams that are in contention mm-hmm. aren't really happy with their goaltending mm-hmm. situation, Phil Grubauer is going to get some phone calls about him.
So is that more of a reason, too, to get him more time early in the year, make sure you're showcasing it?
Yeah.
So when someone goes down across the league,
absolutely.
They're like, we need that guy now.
Absolutely, because yeah. it's an asset right now. The Capitals mm-hmm. have some holes they need to fill. And if you can trade Philip Grubauer at some point this year for a young guy that might be able to fit in the top six that doesn't
mm-hmm.
bring a lot of salary with him, that's something you're going to want to at least listen to. But as we saw last year also, there is something to be said about having two good goaltenders.
I mean,
the Pittsburgh Penguins, they would have been in a world of hurt.
Right?
I mean, no pun intended. I mean,
them.
He won two series
two
for
series.
Him pretty much.
Well,
I mean,
one series.
Yeah.
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 Well,
I mean,
yeah.
that was Murray hurt himself in the pregame of the first game one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't have a number one sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Jim Rutherford, you probably were like, that stinks. But thank God I didn't trade Marc-Andre Fleury the deadline for peanuts,
yeah.
right?
And thank God Fleury was amazing, an amazing person to say, yeah, I'll waive my everything so you guys can let me go to Vegas.
So something to be said for having two good goalies.
Okay, let's go to Adam Salsevich. I'm guessing on your pronunciation. Right? Don't
yeah.
you think? Right?
Salsevich.
Salsevich. Which? You a goo witch? I go with the V. That's okay. He says, I see Nate Schmidt still lacks a contract, i.e. in Vegas. What are all the reasons he can't or won't magically reappear on the Caps roster? related, which would be better?
Let it go, man.
Said magical reappearance or commuter connections? Let it go. Thank you, Adam.
Great question. Great question and funny.
Yeah.
So there are a number of reasons why Nate Schmidt will not magically reappear on Washington's roster. Number one, the Caps have about $600,000 remaining after they flesh this roster out. I mean, they're probably not even going to be able to carry 23 players, let's be honest. They're probably going to be a capped out team that's got 22 players, which gives you one extra forward and one extra D.
Mm-hmm.
And then, fortunately for them, Hershey is right down the road, and they can get somebody here
easily.
Quickly if there's an IR situation or you know, a late scratch after the morning skate. So they don't have enough money for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make almost $3 million next year,
if not $3 million.
Good for him. Great for him. So, and also Vegas had the opportunity, you know, once George McPhee started stockpiling defensemen, he started flipping them off for other things.
Uh-huh.
He was told, it was related to me early on that Nate Schmidt was not going to be one of those guys.
Nope.
They like him.
Yeah.
They like him. So, they're going to probably come to an agreement. I would imagine they'll come to an agreement before. I mean, I don't have any inside knowledge of Vegas's plans, but I would imagine they're going to come to an agreement on an extension before you go into arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, the team will ask for a 2-year term,
mm-hmm.
and he'll get locked into a 2-year term at $2.9 million or $3 million per season. And Nate Schmidt's going to smile even bigger than he normally does.
He will. And he'll,
but it won't be here. It'll be in Vegas.
And there's a lot more sunshine in Vegas as well, and he will fit in very well. So, yes, I don't see Schmidt magically reappearing either. All right, Sean Fillmore writes, good morning, CSNMA Caps fam. Hi, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
As a recently transplanted Caps fan in NYC, I appreciate the Caps content during the dog days of summer. We do, too. We like doing this. It's fun. Much has been made about the dreadful Caps summer and the moves that GM BM made or didn't make. But how is this organization set up for after next year, for 2018-19 and 19-20 and beyond? Can we expect the Caps to return to a financial equilibrium sooner than later, or will they be top-heavy for the foreseeable future? Thanks, JJ, Tarek, and Jill. So it's interesting because we sort of had this discussion where Chicago sort of had this mold where you really have these top guys and then it's the rest of them. So how do you see this shake out in the next 3 years or so?
You know, Sean, that's a great question. And there's a guy named Don Fishman who you're probably familiar with, who's the capologist and lead attorney for the Capitals. And that's his job. His job is to not only worry about assembling a roster for next year, assistant general manager as well, is to keep an eye on the year after that and the year after that. And for the foreseeable future, this team is going to be relatively top-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You got Alex Ovechkin locked in for 4 more years at a cap hit of $9.5 million. You've got Kuznetsov now locked in until basically the turn of the century for $7.8 million.
Yep.
You've got Nicholas Backstrom locked in for 3 more seasons at $6.7 million. TJ Oshie, again, turn of the century contract,
yes.
$5.75 million.
Yep.
Now, things do start to open up a little bit in a few spots where they're not going to be open this year. Mm-hmm. Lars Eller comes off the books next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Lars has a good season, I could see him being re-signed here.
Yeah.
They like him. Jay Beagle comes off the books at 32 years old, 31, I think 32 at some point next season. If he takes great care of himself, I can see him returning.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have options there. After that, you got John Carlson. That's a big hit that comes off
big
the book.
Hit.
$4 million.
Yeah.
I think what happens next season will determine what happens with him long term. Mm-hmm. Taylor Chorney, a much smaller hit, and then you got Braden Holtby locked in at 6.1 for the next 3 seasons. So as of right now, by my count, next year they've got 8 players making $5 million or more,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of John Carlson and Andre Burakovsky and everyone else.
Sure.
There are a lot of guys who are going to be on minimum $650,000 contracts next year,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely the way the Kings have looked at times over the past few years. The way the Chicago Blackhawks, who, by the way, won the Western Conference last year,
mm-hmm.
following that model.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are going that route. Of course, as we always say, the difference is the Kings, the Blackhawks, and the Penguins all won championships.
Right.
Championships.
Yes.
You know, using this model. The Capitals didn't, which is why it looks so...
Which is why they have the same mold,
right.
but no championship.
Minus the cups.
Yeah,
so I can see it working. So to get back to your question, Sean, they are kind of locked into this top heavy mold for a little while. I think there will be some easing of it. Like they're not going to be at the ceiling. If they play their cards right, 2 years from now, but, for the next year, year and a half, it's going to be tough going. There are going to be guys who are getting sent down between games just to save a few thousand bucks so they have money at the deadline to spend on additions.
But it's a proven way to go. I mean, as you just said, the teams that have done it, championships.
Yep.
So
no middle class. Yeah, it's going to be the top earners and the minimum wage guys.
Haves and have nots. All right. Harrison Brown says he actually has one, two, three questions, so we'll go one at a time.
All right.
He says, "Hi, guys. You guys don't mind me sending in so many questions, do you?" No.
Of course not.
We love it. Love the podcast and the summer series last Saturday. Thank you.
Huge.
That was awesome. Good stuff. All right. So first question, does Graevac or Peluso see any time in the NHL this year? And before you answer that, Tarek, I want to, for the record, say that Adam Wingard also asked, if we would see Anthony Peluso this season.
Okay.
So deal with Graevac first, Peluso as well.
I think the Capitals see Graevac as...
signed him from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
He was the guy that they had to sign who was on a one-way deal to keep Lars Eller from being exposed in the
Vegas
expansion draft.
Yep.
I think they see him as a minor league fill-in kind of guy.
Okay.
He's on a one-way deal, so he's gonna be living large in Hershey at about $650,000.
Not bad.
$650,000 in Hershey.
That's a lot of roller coaster rides.
This is true. He's a big body. Centerman, he got a decent amount of playing time at the front half of last season with the Wild. So he's got some ability.
Yeah.
He's an intriguing player because of his size.
Sure.
I don't think they see him right now as a guy who is going to be on the opening night roster. But you know what? Training camp changes minds.
Well, it does. And depth-wise, though, from a center perspective, I got to think he's below Boyd at this part. They're pretty high on Travis Boyd.
Yes. I would say he's probably in that range. Mm-hmm. And you remember Stevenson can also play some center.
True. Yeah.
So...
Yep.
I think they're kind of covered there, but again, I think he's also one of those guys where when he gets to camp, they're going to see his size and they're going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to close the door on him totally, but I think that they are expecting him to be a highly paid minor leaguer for most of next season. Mm-hmm. As far as Anthony Peluso, I've been told by people I've been talking to that he's kind of he's a fighter. Mm-hmm. He's a heavyweight. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that you bring up when you're playing the Flyers or you're playing the Penguins and you got a Ryan Reeves to deal with.
Yeah. Newly acquired Ryan Reeves.
And
everyone kind of went, what?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't. Well, I'm sure Sidney was like,
thank you.
Hey, Jimmy. Yeah,
injuries?
It got a little rough last year at times. Can you go get me some protection? So that's kind of the role that the Reeves is going to face, is going to fill there. And so I Reeves is going to play a lot in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think Peluso is going to be the kind of guy who can come up when
spot
they play.
Starts.
Yeah. They're going to use him when he's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're playing the Penguins and you might want to keep Reeves in check.
Yeah.
And getting back to Graevac also, he's cleared waivers many times before. So they're not worried about losing him to waivers. But if you're curious, go Google Reeves versus Peluso.
We just did.
Yeah, we did. They actually have already tussled. And it was quite a heavyweight bout. I mean, it was a slug fest.
There were...
I believe Peluso was playing for Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And Reeves was still with St. Louis. And...
They landed some huge punches.
And the linesmen had zero interest in getting between those two guys. They were like, you know what? One of them's going to knock the other one out, and then we'll go get them because I'm not getting punched by accident by one of those 240-pound dudes.
Oh, man.
So, so that's your answer.
That was a good fight. All right, so we sort of answered this one, but I'll say it anyways. Again, this is still Harrison Brown. Do you see Chorney or Bowie Juice / other rookie to start with Carlson? I said Chorney. I just hit my mic for the TV. Sorry, microphone. I said Chorney, Tark. You said Ness.
I think Ness.
Actually,
I think Ness. But I think all three of – I think Chorney and Juice will be in the opening night lineup somewhere.
Sure.
I think even if Juice is in the press box, he'll be on that lineup. I think Bowie is going to get a chance to work his way into a capital spot. I think you're going to see a lot of Bowie.
And I went with Tourney and Bowie opening night lineup. So, yep. But Juice will be up there too. All right. So the last question that Harrison asks is, what kind of activity do you expect the Caps to make around the trade deadline? JJ, I know you think Grubauer will be traded. Yes, JJ does believe that Grubauer will be traded. We sort of hit on that a little bit when we talked about goalies, Tarek. Mm-hmm. You know, the first sign of injury from any team, I think Gruby's going to be, the Caps will be the first call to get Grubauer. Is there anywhere else that you see a possibility where coming up towards the trade deadline, the Caps will be like, yeah, we need an X or a Y?
I think this is going to be the first time. I think, like as I mentioned a minute ago, I think they're going to pinch pennies all year long. They're going to keep 22 players on the roster. They're going to send down, you know, whoever they can when they can to bank extra space. I think this is going to be legitimately one of those years where what they do at the deadline is going to be determined by what happens in the preceding 3 months.
Sure.
I could see this team maybe exceeding expectations or being right around where they need to be, maybe going and getting some more scoring. Because, again, we've mentioned without Justin Williams and without Marcus Johansson, they've lost 48 goals. The guys who are coming in have the potential to help pick up the slack. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get to 48 goals. I could see them adding if they feel like this is an opportunity for them to make a run here. But if stuff goes poorly, and I'm a glass half full guy, so I don't usually think about it. But if stuff goes poorly, that might accelerate the, all right, well, you know, we kind of tinkered and tweaked and retooled. Right. We need to make a substantive change. You know, we need to move some guys and get some more first rounders and some young players in. And maybe, you know, I think if the playoffs are out of the question, and I don't see that happening. I think this team is plenty good enough with the roster they have to challenge for a playoff spot. So I think this is going to be one of those years where, you know, I think the last 2 years you knew at the deadline they were going to either load up or stand pat. I think this year it's one of those, let's see what happens in January.
Sure. Right, and I think it's a great chance for all the young guys and the depth guys to show that they belong, that they don't need to go out and get some more scoring. Or, you know, I mean, certainly we talked about the depth on D from a youth perspective. You know, do they need to go and get another veteran for, you know, for the playoffs for a run? Maybe,
you know,
but this is a chance for those guys to prove that they don't need to. I think that's exciting.
I agreed. And also remember, they're not going to have tons of cap space, so it's not like they're going to be able to go out and really get a, you know, two impact players. If anything, it'll be one impact player.
Yeah.
They also don't have a ton of assets to move because all the assets that they could move, they're going to be in the lineup at times this year. Like, they can't just keep trading young players and picks. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to start kind of, you know, getting those assets back into the organization so they can build from within.
All right. So our last question, and we will wrap up the podcast as well after this question, is from Greg Christian. Greg asks, the Caps signed some players to two-way contracts while others signed with the Bears. Is there a difference in how those impact the team? That's a great question, Greg.
Yeah. No, it's true. When the Capitals sign a player to a two-way contract, you'll also notice that, you know, when we tweet it out, it'll have the NHL salary and the minor league salary.
Yep.
Now, the thing for fans to always keep an eye on is the waiver situation for those players. If you go to capfriendly.com,
best website.
I know all, we actually have it open right now. I know Caps diehards are familiar with it. NHL diehards, you'll be able to figure out who is waiver exempt and who has to go through waivers. But basically, if you're signed by the Bears, you are a Hershey Bear. You are an AHL contract. For you to come to the big club, you got to sign. You will then have to sign a new contract.
Yep.
So you're not counting against the number of players that the Capitals have under contract. So if you sign a two-way deal, that's for players who are A, prospects, or players that the Caps feel like at some point may be needed in Washington.
We've seen quite a bit of that.
And you have seen quite a bit of that. And,
in the last few weeks.
And, you know, one thing you can also take a look at when you're looking at the numbers of a player is, you know, for example, Devontae Smith-Pelly. I think he makes $300,000 in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money in Hershey.
Yeah.
So that kind of lets you know that the Caps kind of expect him to be in Washington on his $650,000 salary in the NHL. And that's also that also tells me that Devontae probably had options. And
he had some leverage.
He had some leverage.
He was able to up that minor league number.
So, yeah, so it was one of those things where, okay, fine, you want to sign me to a two-way and not a one-way.
Yeah.
Then
you're going
to
pay for it.
You're going to pay for it. Make it worth my while to go to Hershey and, you know.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of roller coasters.
Seriously, like, I would almost pay somebody to go to Hershey. I love that town so much. I do pay to go there, so what am I talking about?
You know, it's funny. I go to Hershey quite a bit, you know, sometimes to see the Bears.
Yeah.
But last year, my son played against the Hershey Junior Bears.
Okay.
And afterwards, I went back to the hotel to take care of some work. And the wife and son went to the Hershey factory and came back with like a 5-pound block of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they said it was the greatest thing they've ever
heard. Yeah.
So it's a pretty
sweetest place on earth.
it really does smell like chocolate.
It
actually does. You can kind of smell it a little bit.
I think they, and the roads are brown.
Yeah.
They are.
But here's the Doug Yingst.
Yes.
The former general manager of the Bears.
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing. So I'm sitting there at Giant Center watching these little 12-year-olds play hockey out there. And then I noticed that their coach was wearing a suit.
Uh-huh.
And he started getting he was really agitated about a call that involved my son. So I kind of leaned forward. I was like, why is he yelling at he's not yelling at my son, he's yelling at the ref. And then I was like, that's Doug Yingst.
He was coaching
the 12-year-old hockey team. Yes, in a full suit. Our coach is like, wearing a sweatshirt and, you know, like hockey pants.
Right.
He's in a full suit, like he is about to go.
Nice guy.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
All right.
End of story.
So that was a good story. All right. Thanks everyone so much for your questions. We love getting your questions. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
CapitalsFaceOff@gmail.com is the email to email your questions. We'll get them in next week. JJ will...
I think he's back next week.
...be joining us next week again. And for Tariq El-Bashir, I'm Jill Sorensen. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.